All right, Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. This chapter and one more chapter and maybe the rapture. I don't know. But it's been fun going through the book of Revelation. It's been fun seeing all the different things. Things that it might be. I mean, our minds cannot comprehend what the future holds for us in heaven. We don't even know what it's going to be like on this earth during the tribulation. But I mean, just as we see, again, technology advancing, things going on in the world, it's, you know, is the world going to be ran by robots and stuff? And again, you probably heard about the 15-minute cities they want to build and stuff, and, you know, just have everybody living in just, you know, these little spaces. You can only go so far, and just the vehicles and stuff, and it's really wild when you think about it. Again, I just remember some of the old saints talking about. I remember one time asking a relative. I said, "Are you for sure that you're saved on your way to heaven?" "Oh yeah, I know the mark of the beast. It's the credit card." Well, if that's the mark of the beast, then we were all doomed. I mean, who doesn't have a credit card, right, or a debit card? But I can, you know, again, back in that time, right, you know, just, you know, as people are, you know, listening to scriptures, preachers are preaching, you know, and then, you know, the Social Security, not Social Security, but the, what am I trying to think of? Say it again? No. Yeah, Social Security number. The Social Security number. Everyone's got a Social Security number, right? And they preached against that because, you know, everyone has a number, right? We know the mark of the beast. The Bible says in your right hand or in your forehead, all right? So we've gone through all of this. We're in Revelation chapter 21 talking about the new heaven and new earth. And there's a couple different views on the new heaven, all right, the new earth. We're going to look at the Bible, but have you ever wondered, all right, I kind of brought this up, I think, last week or a couple weeks ago. There are some people that still think the earth is flat, all right, which I don't understand why people still think the earth is flat, but okay. But what about the universe? What is the shape of the universe? What's the shape of the universe? All right. There are those that believe and teach the universe is in the shape of a pyramid, all right? In the shape of a pyramid, because the Bible talks about the sides of the north, all right? The devil says that he wants to ascend. He wants to ascend the sides of the north. He wants to be like God, but he cannot take God's position. He can't knock God off his throne, all right? So, I mean, different things. I mean, not quite sure, all right, and I'll tell you, I'm not quite sure, but it's interesting to see some different aspects of what people think, but we'll get into it in a minute, all right, but let's go ahead and read the entire chapter, because I'm glad that there is a new heaven and a new earth, because some people might wonder, why does there need to be a new heaven and a new earth? The new heaven is not where God is at. The new heaven is our atmosphere, outer space, because the devil has just, he's corrupted all of that, all right? But a new heaven, a new earth, because the earth is corrupted, it's full of sin, right? So there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, not what the Jehovah Witnesses believe that we inherit the current earth. No, we get a new earth, all right? But anyway, chapter 21, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable, the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone clear of crystal, or clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written therein, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates, on the north, 3 gates, on the south, 3 gates, on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall, and the building of the wall of it was of jasper. And the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardix, the fifth sardis, or the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase. Anybody want to help me out? I'm not good at it. So, that's a jewel. The 11th, Janus, the 12th, Amethyst. All right? The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Stopping right there, I mean, just, you can't even quite imagine what it's going to look like. I mean, we're given a description. There have been many, many different people who have tried to come up with their rendition of what it should look, what it may look like. You know, there's someone's, you know, got the city, got the foundation, the wall with the gates, all of that. Someone else has a city like this, 4 square at the foundations and stuff, all right? But you think about it, our minds can't comprehend what it's going to look like, all right? Our minds can't comprehend what it's going to look like. It's going to be beautiful like we've never seen before. Just the fact that it's going to be made out of gold, transparent like glass. I mean, just the purest gold that you can just see right through it. And we're going to walk on streets of gold. All right, and there are some different beliefs. Now, when Jesus said in John 14, "In my Father's house are many mansions," if it were not so, I would have told you. I was talking to somebody one day years ago, and they said, "Well, you know, it's not really mansions like you're thinking; it's really rooms." Well, some of the other translations use the word room. Where in my Father's house are many rooms. But the King James Bible specifically says mansions. Mansions. All right. In my Father's house are many mansions. All right. And I believe what the Bible says, mansions. I mean, when God does something, he goes all out. You just think about creation. You just think about everything God created. How many types of flowers are there? How many types of trees? I mean, how many types of fish? I mean, they're still discovering new reptiles and new fish and stuff. I mean, the deeper they go in the ocean, they're finding more, you know, fish that can survive way down there. I mean, it's just amazing what God does. And just the fact when the Bible in Genesis, when it says, oh, and he created the stars also. You can't even number the stars, right? And the fact that, you know, our sun is not the hottest star. There is another star out there. I think they're the blue stars, if I have it right. There are blue stars that are actually hotter than our sun. All right. I'm just saying that when God does something, he goes all out. All right. So I believe that we're going to have a mansion in the Lord's house. All right. Now, when you think about just verse number one, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Again, there has to be a new heaven and a new earth because this earth has been corrupted since the beginning, since sin entered into the world and death by sin. I mean, the world has been groaning. This earth has been groaning. Remember the first murder. The first murder, Cain killing his brother, Abel, right? And when the Lord came to Cain, he said, your brother's blood cries out from the earth. I mean, man's blood has been shed. This earth has been corrupted. There has to be a new heaven and a new earth. And I'm glad, because it's going to be perfect. God created things perfect. Man has messed it up. God is so perfect in what he does. Carbon dioxide is needed for vegetation. Am I right or wrong? Carbon dioxide, what you exhale out, the plants take that and they turn it into energy. But man wants to get rid of carbon dioxide. They say, you know what, we got to minimize your carbon footprint in the world because you are destroying the world. We got to get rid of cows and cattle because they're destroying the world with all the gas that they, you know, let off and stuff. God created all of that, right? Man messes us up. And remember, as we've gone through Revelation, by the time that God creates a new heaven and a new earth, this earth is just decimated. It's just not just corrupt with sin, but with all the nuclear war and everything that goes on in the end. I mean, this world is just, it's not inhabitable anymore. Because remember, a third of the trees is burned up in the beginning, a third of the grass, the seas, all the water turns to blood. I mean, do you really want to inherit that earth? Not me. I'm glad we are going to get a new heaven and a new earth, and the Lord says so. But he says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Again, you've got to rightly divide Scripture, because the Bible says heaven, but when we think of heaven sometimes, we think of where God is. We think of where we're going, heaven. Because, you know, sometimes we'll ask little kids when we're talking to them about salvation, don't you want to go to heaven where Jesus is, right? And they're thinking of where God is and where everything's perfect. There's no more death. There's no more dying. There's no more starvation. There's no more child abuse. There's no more, you know, sex trafficking. There's no more evil, because evil cannot be in heaven, because heaven is perfect. Heaven is where God is. So when the Bible here says the new heaven, all right, again, it is speaking about our atmosphere, and it's speaking about the universe, because the devil has corrupted everything, all right? That's why he got kicked out of heaven, because pride was found in him. So you think about, you know, here's earth, and, you know, here's outer space, all right? So God is saying that he's going to create a new earth and a new heaven, all right? Outer space, the atmosphere, all that's going to be new because the devil has corrupted it. Because remember, when Satan fell and got lifted up in pride and said, I will be like the Most High, don't forget, he was a created angelic being. He was above the throne of God, leading the other angels in worshiping God. He has music built into him. All right? That's why there's so much devilish music in this world. Godly music is music that glorifies God. Godly music draws your heart and mind to the Lord. The devil's music causes people to lose control, causes people to start shaking their bodies and being very sexual with themselves among other people. But the devil, who God created to worship God, sin was found in him. He got lifted up in pride. God cast him down, and he can no longer go before the throne of God. Now, I want you to see something in Job. Go to Job chapter 1. Because just think about this. If the third heaven, just using this as an example, all right? There are three heavens mentioned in the Bible. The first heaven would be the atmosphere of the earth where the birds fly in airplanes. Okay, that's a heaven. The second heaven would be outer space. But the third heaven, as Paul talks about, he knew a man, whether in the flesh or whether in the body or out of the body, he cannot tell. Speaking of himself, he said, caught up to the third heaven. The third heaven is where God is at. The third heaven is where the throne of God is. Now, let me ask you this. If the devil got kicked out of heaven, do you think that he can just go up there anytime he wants? Because he is sin, and no sin can be in the presence of God. Because I want you to look at Job. Job chapter 1. And Job chapter 1, it says in verse 6, now there was a day when the sons of God being the angels, the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. Again, let me remind us, Satan is not equal with God. He's not like the Mormons teach. He's not the brother of Jesus because he's not equal. He was a created being that rebelled against his creator. Now he is sin, all right? So sin can't dwell with God in heaven. He was kicked out of heaven. But when it talks about Satan presenting himself to the Lord, does that mean in the book of Job that, because it says that God asked him, where have you been? Well, walking to and fro in the earth. He can't be everywhere that God is. Remember, he's not equal to God. He's not all-knowing. He's not omnipresent. You can't be here and there and over there. He's walking to and fro. Now, he's got his minions. He's got his demons doing his dirty work all over the world. Okay? But he can't be everywhere at once, all right? But when he presents himself to the Lord, does he go back into the third heaven before the throne of God? He can't. Because again, there's no sin in God's presence. Because if there was sin where God's at, then God would have to recreate his own throne, his own heaven, all right? So go back to Revelation 21. He says, I saw a new heaven, a new earth, for the first heaven, the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. No more sea. Let me just ask you, what do you think when you read that? There was no more sea. New heaven, new earth, no more sea. Is that talking about the body of waters on earth? As some people believe, can you imagine God creating a new earth and it's just dirt? There's no water? Because when he created this earth, and Adam and Eve were there, there were four rivers that Genesis speaks about. All right? So when it says there's no more sea, and you know the rest of the chapter, it describes the New Jerusalem, it describes God dwelling with his people, all right, Jesus Christ dwelling among us. Well, the only way God's going to be able to do that is when there's no more sin, because sin cannot dwell with God, all right. So I want you to look with me, go back to Job chapter 30, or look at Revelation chapter 4 first. Revelation chapter 4. Just using scripture, we're going to see what this sea is. It's not the bodies of water on this planet, but it is what divides the third heaven from, I'll say, creation, from the world and sin. Because sin cannot dwell with God, so there has to be some dividing point, all right? Some dividing point that separates the purity, the sinless heaven, the throne where God is at, versus everything else that is sinful and has been sin-cursed. So Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 6. And before the throne there was a sea of glass, like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. But notice it says that before the throne of God was a sea of glass like unto crystal. A sea of glass like unto crystal. Okay? So go to Job 38. Job 38, verse 29 and 30. Let's back up and get a running start here. Because in chapter 38, this is God rebuking Job, because Job, up to this point, has been complaining about the day he was born, complaining that if he had never been born, he wouldn't have suffered the loss of his children, he wouldn't be suffering his bad health with the boils, he wouldn't have been going through this trial, all right? And let's see here. Look at verse 21. Knowest thou it, because thou wast then born, or because the number of thy days is great? Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow, or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail, which I have reserved against the time of trouble, against the day of battle and war? Remember, one of the plagues, one of the last judgments that we looked at when God starts pouring out his judgment at the end of the tribulation are hailstones. And based on the weight that is recorded in scripture, roughly 8 to 10 pounds. Some estimate 12-pound hailstones. Now, you've seen hailstones, you know, the size of golf balls and stuff, maybe at different times. But can you imagine a hailstone that's, let's just say, 8 pounds? And people are getting hit on the head with that, all right? So this is what God says, which I have reserved against the time of trouble, against the day of battle and war. By what way is the light parted, which scattereth the east wind upon the earth? Who hath divided a water course for the overflowing of waters, or a way for the lightning of thunder, to cause it to rain on the earth where no man is, on the wilderness wherein there is no man? To satisfy the desolate and waste ground, and to cause the bud of the tender herb to spring forth? Hath the rain a father, or who hath begotten the drops of dew? Out of whose womb came the ice and the hoary frost of heaven? Who hath gendered it? The waters are hid as with a stone, and the face of the deep is frozen. Now, when you read that, some are believing that that God is speaking about this divide between his place, between the third heaven and outer space and all the planets and Earth as well. Because I don't know if you ever heard this, but up in space, they say that it is cold. And when astronauts go outside the spaceships, that it is cold, right? Which is fascinating. You know, the further away you get from the sun, it's cold. Because before they decided it wasn't a planet anymore, you remember the planet Pluto? It was the furthest planet away from the sun, and it was a frozen planet. So, I mean, it is believed that the sea of glass, and we'll look at some other scripture, but the sea of glass is a frozen sea. But it's like crystal that you can kind of see through. Again, there has to be a dividing point between heaven, where God is at, versus the rest of the creation that's sinful now, that's been cursed. All right? Again, when you think about the devil can't go back into heaven where he was and was kicked out. All right? So there has to be this dividing point and the sea of glass, all right, which is like crystal, like a stone. And just according to Job chapter 38, frozen, all right, it's frozen. Look at Revelation chapter 15. Go back to Revelation chapter 15. Now, the best that we can do is compare Scripture with Scripture because, again, Revelation, the majority of Revelation is all future, especially the new heaven and new earth, all right? We can try to, you know, draw pictures of what we think, but, I mean, the best artist falls short of what the new Jerusalem is going to be like, what the new heaven is going to be like. It's going to be perfect and beautiful. But when you read back in Revelation chapter 15, all right, it says, "And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God." Verse 2, "And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire." A sea of glass mingled with fire. Remember, God is going to destroy everything. Now, if there is this sea of glass that is frozen, that again, that divides heaven, where God is, from the rest of creation, all right, then when the Bible talks about Revelation 21, God dwelling with us, all right, well, if there's no more sin, no more death, there's no more curse, then guess what? You don't need that anymore. Because all sin, remember at the end, the devil gets thrown into a lake of fire. Remember, we go up at the rapture, right before the tribulation. We come back with the Lord at the battle of Armageddon at the end of the tribulation. The devil gets thrown into a lake of fire for 1,000 years, or into hell, into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. We reign with Christ for 1,000 years during the millennium. But at the end of millennium, Satan is loosed again to deceive the nations, because even though people are under the reign of Christ for 1,000 years, not everybody really wants to follow Christ. They're waiting for the devil. They're waiting for someone to rise up again and lead a revolt against the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the devil does. He comes back. He's let out. And it's the battle of Armageddon. This is the battle of Armageddon. At the battle of Gog and Magog, fire just comes down from heaven and consumes the enemies of God. All right, consumes the enemies of God. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 20 that the devil is thrown into the lake of fire where the false prophet and the beast are. So then it's after the millennium, all that takes place. This earth burns up and God creates a new heaven and a new earth. And the reason why I drew this up here, because again, there are those that believe you can't find the end of the universe. No one's found the end of the universe, all right? But based on Scripture, when it talks about the sides of the north, All right, when you look down at a pyramid from the top and you look down, right, there's four sides, and the four sides are going up. You understand what a pyramid is, all right? And what does the devil do? The devil always does what God has done. He always does things. He wants to imitate Jesus. He wants to imitate the Creator, okay? Anybody got a dollar bill? You got a dollar bill on you? Do you know what's on the back of a dollar bill? It's a pyramid. Can I borrow that real quick? So on the back of the dollar bill is a pyramid, and you notice that the pyramid, the capstone or the cornerstone, is not attached. It's elevated. Isn't Jesus the cornerstone or capstone? So when you think about it, I mean, have you ever wondered why a pyramid? And what's in the capstone? It's an all-seeing eye. Now again, this on your dollar bill, this is demonic, all right? We talked about this. This is from the Masons, all right? This is all, I forget the guy's name. But anyway, this does not depict God at all right? But remember, the devil is always, what's the word I'm looking for? He's always counterfeiting everything that God has done. Because what is his goal? To be created, to be worshipped like God. He wants to be like the Most High. So it kind of makes you wonder that some things that are in this world, is that what is in heaven? Because remember, everything that God told Moses, the tabernacle, the showbread, the candlesticks, all of that is a picture of what's in heaven. All right, it's a picture. All right. So when we think about this, it's very possible that our universe is shaped like a pyramid. All right. And then you do have the sea of glass that divides God's heaven, his throne, from the rest. Because again, sin can't dwell with God, and God doesn't dwell with sin. Okay. But when the devil is finally thrown into the lake of fire, and God wipes away all tears, then it makes sense. And as it says in Revelation chapter 5, John sees the sea of glass mingled with fire. Well, what happens if ice, if you put fire to ice? It's going to melt, right? So it kind of, you know, you can kind of see where eventually that divide will be gone, all right? God will be dwelling with his people. Now, let's keep reading. Verse 2, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So a new Jerusalem, so you have a new heaven and a new earth. All right, new heaven, new earth, and now you have the new Jerusalem. Because the one that's currently in Israel, it's corrupt. All right, it's corrupt. God put his name there, but it's corrupt. But there's a new Jerusalem, a new city, Jerusalem coming. It says, John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, as we keep reading, you'll see this new Jerusalem is your heavenly home. This new Jerusalem is where you're going to abide. This is where your mansion is. All right. Now the question is, again, there are those that believe it's just going to be suspended in the air. All right. I think when you read scripture, it probably will be suspended, but at some point it's going to touch the ground. It's going to be on this earth. All right. But as you read, okay, New Jerusalem. It's a holy city coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Verse number 3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Again, this new Jerusalem, verses 9 through 22, give the description of this new city, all right, this new Jerusalem. But in verse number 4, he says, God shall wipe away all tears. Excuse me, thinking about this, the new heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem, the wiping away of all the tears comes after the millennium. Again, there are those that believe, and again, I won't be dogmatic about it, but when we go up at the rapture, we go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. We stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive crowns for our service, all right? Our sins were paid for at the cross. But now at the judgment seat of Christ, we're judged for the service. We're judged for what we did with our life during salvation, the moment you were saved until the moment you see Christ, all right? Receive crowns, and unfortunately, some things will be burnt up that we did for the Lord. We see that in Ephesians, right? The wood, hay, and the stubble that we use sometimes in our service for the Lord, the things we think are right, but they're not, okay? But there are some, because if Jesus is reigning for 1,000 years, all right, he's reigning for 1,000 years on this earth, and we come down to reign with him, there are those that believe that the New Jerusalem does come down during the millennium, because if that's our home, if that's where our mansion is, and we're reigning with Christ on this earth, again, there are those that believe that the New Jerusalem comes down so that we can go in and out, all right? We can go in and out of the New Jerusalem during the millennium, all right? And then what would happen after? What would happen after the final stage where the devil's finally thrown to the lake of fire? I mean, God doesn't have to recreate the New Jerusalem. Again, you know, the Bible's not exactly clear on this, so I won't teach dogmatically about it. But when you think just reading Scripture, again, it's a beautiful city that God creates. He's going to wipe away all tears, because remember, at the end of the millennium, all those that are lost, never trusting in Jesus Christ, never turning to God during the tribulation, they stand before the great white throne judgment. In chapter 20, verse 12, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into a lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into a lake of fire. So those whose names are not in the Lamb's book of life are cast into a lake of fire. They stand before the judgment seat of God. They stand before the great white throne judgment. All right, and the Bible talks about there's no place for them. So it's, I believe that after the millennium, when the devil is destroyed finally, and the death and hell give up all the people in them, you know, all those that are lost, all right, they stand before the great white throne judgment. I believe earth has been burned up. God destroys the earth. He destroys the earth. He destroys the heaven. There's nothing. All these lost people who rejected Christ, they are suspended before the Lord, absolutely nothing, but probably a lake of fire below them. And as they hear the judgment of God, even those that will say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do all this in your name? Didn't we cast out demons? Didn't we do this? And they hear the Lord say, I never knew thee. Depart from me, thou that workest iniquity. So, I mean, it's, If we've been with the Lord for 7 years, and then we reign with the Lord for 1,000 years, are we crying? No. We're having a good time. We're at the marriage supper of the Lamb. We come back, we reign with the Lord, and everything's just great. But then at the great white throne judgment, that we don't have to stand before, but I think we'll see people that we know being judged and thrown into a lake of fire. Those that rejected Christ that you tried to talk to, those that we didn't talk to, that the Lord prompted us to give a tract to talk to. We're going to be weeping because, like the Lord's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. I believe there's going to be sorrow for a time as we see people being cast into the lake of fire. And then he wipes away all the tears once it's all over. You know, sometimes, you know, people wonder, and my wife and I have talked about this, how much will you remember of the former life? And I don't think we'll remember anything. Now, for me, that's kind of sad because I'd like to remember my wife, you know. Get to enjoy, you know, this January will be 31 years of marriage, 35 in April as a couple. I kind of want to remember that, but you know what? I don't think you can, because this life right now is full of sin. It's full of sin. And if there's no sorrow in heaven, then guess what? Those that we do see cast into the lake of fire, we can't spend eternity, you know, heartbroken over those that rejected Christ, because again, that's sin. Being heartbroken is sin. So, I mean, when you think about it, God makes everything new, and that's what he says. He says, behold, I make all things new in verse 5. I make all things new. And he's going to make all things new. Again, I mean, our minds can't comprehend, all right? I may be wrong on some of this stuff, but just looking at Scripture, comparing Scripture with Scripture, like I keep saying, people need to get saved on this side of the tribulation. Now, thankfully, people are going to get saved during the tribulation. God shows that plainly. Jews and Gentiles alike will be saved during the tribulation, but it's best to be saved during the age of grace, right? Trusting in the work that Jesus did when he cried out, it is finished. I only got a couple minutes here. All right, so look at verse 4 again. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. All right? So again, when no more pain, have you experienced any pain in your life? Whether physical, mental, spiritual, right? Yeah, we've experienced pain. And God says there is no pain in heaven, so it kind of does wipe the memory bank. Now, we're going to know people, all right? You'll know people up there that you've never met. We kind of get that example from James, John, and Peter, who went up on the Mount Transfiguration, and they fell asleep. But when they looked, when Peter looked, I mean, he saw Jesus transformed in all his glory. And Moses and Elijah were right there. And he knew who they were because he said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Should we make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah? So he knew who those two men were, though they lived hundreds and hundreds, thousands of years before him, right? He knew who they were. So we'll know people, but we're not going to remember our former life. Now, to what extent, I don't know. Now, silly or not, I've asked the Lord, can my mansion be next to Sandra's? Can we be friends? Can we hang out together and walk on the streets of gold together? Even though I know, you know, we're not married, but can we at least, you know, have that? And, you know, again, I don't know what all it's going to be like, but it's going to be good, all right? It's going to be good, no sorrow, no crying, all tears will be wiped away. Verse 5, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Aren't you glad you can trust what God says? I make all things new. The devil corrupted it, but God's going to make it all new. God has used it for good. Look at verse 6. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Freely. We like that word freely, don't we? You know what was freely given in the beginning? All the trees for Eve and Adam. But God gave all the trees freely for them to eat, except for one. You know what kind of got Eve in trouble when the devil came and tempted her and said, "Yea, hath God said?" She said that God gave them the trees, but she left out the word freely. She left off the word freely. God had given them all the trees, all the fruit-bearing trees, herb-bearing trees, all freely except for one. Except for one. Again, this is freely given of the Lord, this fountain of water. Notice he says, I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Verse 7, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Again, what a beautiful place, and we got to stop right here. We'll get more into those verses next week. But again, now that we're in chapter 21 and going forward, I mean, we're past all of this. And there's a new heaven, a new earth to enjoy. There is a better relationship with the Lord. Because right now we're here. But he does view us there. God views us with him. We're here, but yet we're there with him. Now, we don't understand that, and we're like, well, I'm still stuck here, right? Still stuck in this world, still stuck in this corrupt body. But one day we will be with the Lord. I mean, again, he's created this beautiful place for us. But unfortunately, what did it take? What did it take to get to that perfect place to be with God? Destruction. Sin and destruction. But again, like we are in the Christmas season, we're in the time that we celebrate the birth of Christ, the fact that he would come and robe himself in flesh and live a sinful, sinless life. I mean, he, from birth, even conception, all the way to 30 plus years, he lived life, yet without sinning, right? So he could die and shed his blood. I mean, you ever wonder why? Why did God just allow all this to happen? If God knew Adam and Eve were going to sin and eat the fruit, if God knew the devil was going to sin against him, why did God let that happen? Why did God create Lucifer, the angelic being, who he knew was going to rebel against him? Because God had a perfect plan and still has a perfect plan. Now, to us, a lot of it doesn't make sense. Because if I was the creator, I wouldn't create anything that's going to rebel against me. I just wouldn't. I would create perfect people that would just worship me without sinning against me. And that's why, you know, sometimes it's hard to understand God. Because God doesn't create robots that just do what the maker says. Right? The devil wants to create robots that do everything at his command. God has created people who have a free will to either love him and follow him or hate him and reject him. Because he wants those that freely come to him to worship him. I mean, he's given us that perfect, perfect will. Sometimes I do wish the Lord would just make me do what I'm supposed to do. Because, you know, you got that struggle. I know I'm supposed to do this, but I'm tired. It's been a long day, you know, all of that. But there's coming a day when it will be perfect. Everything that you and I struggle with right now, people that we struggle with, all that's going to be made right and made perfect. But again, I mean, as we're towards the end of Revelation, just remember, you have something to look forward to. That's why we're told that we're to keep looking for the blessed hope. We're to keep looking for the return of Christ, because he is coming back for his people. He is coming back. And again, if we were going to have to go through any part of the tribulation, well, I wouldn't have any blessed hope to look for. I'd be preparing to go into the tribulation, but God has promised through his word that we're not appointed unto wrath. He is going to take us out. And we look forward. It gives us something to look forward to. Now, we can't put a time on it. Can't put a date on it. But again, as you just see things advancing in this world, you can see the time is drawing nigh. The time is getting closer. So we've got to prepare. And we got to keep telling people about Christ. Keep praying for those that have said no or rejected or talk to me later. Just keep on with that mindset that, you know what? Man, I only have a certain amount of time before the Lord calls me home. But thankfully, again, everything that's going to happen, you're going to be with the Lord. All right, so next week we'll look more into it. Father, we do thank you this morning just for your goodness. And Lord, as we get to the end of Revelation, we just thank you, Father, that, Lord, you have given us a blessed hope. We keep our eyes on the author and finisher of our faith. We have something to look forward to. But Lord, it should also be something that inspires us and helps us every day to live for the Lord, to make decisions based upon your will for our life as we seek your will for our life. Father, we ask that you would continue to just bless our time together this morning, continue to speak to our hearts through your word. And I pray, Father, that you would receive all honor, glory, and praise that's due unto your name. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we got about